The Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, as they were going on along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But that one said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. From our first reading today, Christ has set us free to live a free life, so take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Our reading this morning begins strong and doesn't let up. I have to share with you, as I did with the folks at Cross of Glory, that early in the week, I had already thrown out this text. We had had our Bible study at men's breakfast beginning of the week, and we talked about the gospel text, and I thought for sure that's what I wanted to preach on. Dawn knows me well at this point, though, and she knows that she shouldn't make up the bulletin before I go to my weekly text study on Wednesday. I know I've mentioned it to some of you, that there's this group of pastors that I meet with on Wednesday mornings all the way down near downtown St. Paul, and all the way down I pray that I will hear some good news for the congregations of Atonement and Cross of Glory. Indeed, I carry all of you with me. Lord God, what do these folks need to hear? Well, I was a little disgruntled when I got there and they started sharing the text. And before I even sat down, I was a little bit late because of traffic. Kara, one of the other pastors, had been reading from Eugene Peterson's The Message, and I caught just the tail end of it. And it was so powerful, and the conversation went on for a good 45 minutes afterward about how this was the favorite text of many of the preachers present. I don't know if I always hear it in such a hopeful way. After all, I had read the New Revised Standard Version, our standard Bible text of it, and it just seems like a lot of big words about sin and other things, and then a little bit about freedom. But I feel like freedom gets really confusing. Indeed, last week I preached about freedom, and that's why this spoke to me when I met with my pastor friends. Last week I said to you, we have been set free. Remember to challenge and cast out every power that prevents us from living fully and freely as human beings created in God's image. Jesus claims sovereignty not just over our souls, but over lives here on earth. Those whom Jesus has healed and freed know that his liberating love is indeed good news. And the gospel commands that we proclaim throughout our cities and our towns this good news. Still, God is at work in Jesus, bringing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God is bringing the kingdom on earth, not to some far-off distant future, but to the here and now, and we are invited to participate. If that sounds familiar, it's because I said it last week. Just being honest with you, I did say all of that last week, and it seemed to fit just so well with this week's text. I can almost hear Paul saying in that common modern language, "You got this. You can do this." That's the phrase that continued to come into mind as I was preparing. especially with this little piece from the Message. You were running superbly. Who cut in on you, deflecting you from your true course of obedience? This detour doesn't come from the one who called you into the race in the first place. You got this. Here we stand the weekend before we celebrate Independence Day, and we might be tempted to equate our freedom as Christians with our freedom as citizens of the United States. But I beg of you, do not be too quick to put those two together, to see them as the same. Freedom as a Christian is different from freedom as a citizen in a nation state. Freedom as a Christian is different because freedom in our nation state has to do with freedom from an emperor, or freedom from taxation without representation, freedom from religious persecution, which I'll remind you, many of those who came to the United States in the first place came to this place so they wouldn't have to celebrate or worship a particular brand of Christianity. So often, some of us are tempted away toward this idea that we are a Christian nation, but then I ask of you, what type of Christian? I have to share that I saw on social media this flag with all of these, this God language on it, and that always raises my suspicion a little bit. What is the, you know, the angle of this post? And when I look closer, there was something that looked like a scripture passage, but I didn't know exactly what it was, and it said some word, and I don't even remember what it was, maybe Alma? But it was a scripture passage, and so I Googled it, because we can do that these days, and it turned out it was Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. I ask of you, do all of you want to be set free to be Mormons? Likely not. We're in a Lutheran church. You should have the ability to be Mormon if you'd like to be, but also to practice whatever faith you want. And so often when I hear people saying Christian nation, it's used to mask other things, like Christian but nothing else. And that is not what we're about. As Christians, we follow our God, but that doesn't mean that we eliminate the competition. Freedom as Americans is a wonderful thing for certain, but we should not and will not equate it with freedom as a Christian. It's a tough thing to talk about, which again is why I wanted to avoid this text at first, but the best way I could find to describe this is with the writings of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my favorite theologians, a German theologian who died at the hands of Hitler's regime in the 1940s. He describes the freedom of God as for humans, which leads to our subsequent freedom in Christ to live fully for one another, living for our neighbor, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Bonhoeffer writes, "It is a question of the freedom of God which finds its strongest evidence precisely in that God freely chose to be bound to historical human beings and to be placed at the disposal of human beings. God is free not from human beings, but for them. Christ is the word of God's freedom." Bonhoeffer speaks of a miracle which the Christian church annually honors, that God freely became human, lived among us as Jesus, and was killed by those whom he loved. His death brings freedom. Bonhoeffer understood that we also are free for one another, and his life and his death assert that freedom. As Christians, we talk about us from our sin. And that is indeed true. It's the truth of the gospel. But also true is the freedom of the church and of Christians everywhere to stand in solidarity with the oppressed, the hungry, the downtrodden, the marginalized. Christ is the word of God's freedom to you and to me, and it deserves an answer beyond mere appreciation. It is not about getting one's own way. I have to say that this includes being the salvation police. Have you ever found yourself playing the role of the salvation police? You get to decide whether people are saved or not. I mean, just in your own life, you have to look around and say, saved, not saved, saved, not saved. We probably don't do it exactly that way. The way that I see it played out most often is there are people in our lives who we know don't follow Jesus the same way as we do, or perhaps not with the same gusto, or perhaps it's something as simple as instead of bowing heads, we raise our hands in prayer. If someone isn't doing it the same way as we are, or if someone isn't doing it at all from what we can see, sometimes we get a little bit worried, and we think it's our responsibility to change that person somehow. Indeed, earlier I told you, you got this, right? That's not completely true. Yes, we have this, but also God's got this. It's on God to do the changing of hearts and minds. Yes, we serve one another, we reach out, we care for the oppressed, the hungry, those in need, or maybe just a friend in need of a hug or a smile or an encouraging word. But Jesus called us to be childlike in our faith, not childish. Our faith is not selfish. It is not for personal gain, nor for the gain of those whom we love. Faith is about wonder, and it's about following where God leads us. The rest is icing on the cake. We are to trust that God indeed has got this. He has us all in his hands, caring for each and every one of us. We live in freedom, being set free for the sake of the other and for the sake of God's purpose. Yes, we share our faith, not out of concern of saving souls or saving the church structure to which we adhered in the late 20th century. We share our faith in the God that has claimed us, redeems us, and continues to sustain us. God has got us in his hands. So I ask each and every one of you, what did God set you free for? It's similar to the question I asked you last week. Why have you been set free? How have you been set free? What did God set you free for? This is a question we all must figure out for ourselves and sit with daily. It helps us to live out our daily lives, to encourage one another, and it's helps in how we raise our children, and by our children, I do not mean our flesh and blood or even those we have adopted into our personal families. I mean our children, the world's children, neighbors, locally and globally. Lord, God has placed in our midst people in need of encouragement, in need of love, in need of care, in need of a loaf of bread to sleep with at night. God's got this, and you've got God with you in your daily lives. Thanks be to God for that. Alleluia and amen.